Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's version of Raising Expectations. We all want you to know that we're thrilled you took time to be with us tonight, because your being with us is what it's all about. As you already know, probably, we're here because we want to raise your expectations in all areas of your life. Our program stands for faith, freedom, our nation, your family, finances, and especially for fun. How do we have fun in this world? We live in a great nation. We have a wonderful God that we serve, and we have a wonderful group of friends in the nation. So thanks for being with us tonight. Tonight, you may have seen publicized for you that we have a very special friend and guest coming to be with us, but we're waiting right now. Something has happened. He is in Washington, D.C., so we're waiting to see what has happened there. As you know, we have a great team. My name is Joe Schofield, and it's my privilege to host this with my co-host each week. You know that we have Dr. Paul Hall. You know that we have Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer, and Commander Rob and Nancy Hansen. You heard about COVID-19. Well, folks, something like that happened to our show tonight. All of a sudden, we turned around and I get an emergency call from Dr. Hall. And then I get a call that that the Thayers had to be out of town, and they were really planning on being with us. They've had an emergency pop up. They will be back with us. Everybody be back together next week. So we're waiting for Doug Weed. You all know that Doug Weed is known as a man who's worked with six presidents. He is a man who is a New York Times best-selling author. His latest book, thanks, Rob, there it is, Inside Trump's White House. We had him on the program once, huh, Rob? Remember how he talked all about the influence, the input, the way they just made him like family? He goes all the way back to Ronald Reagan and the times that he had. So check my Facebook or social media or Instagram or Rob and Nancy's or anybody on the team, and you'll be able to read about him. It's all up there. So hopefully he may be able to get back to us tonight. He will be with us again on May the 31st. We have him booked for two times this month because of everything that's going on right now. So since he is not here today, I came up with this incredibly ingenious idea, not to sound like the Five or Greg Gutfeld all of a sudden, but you know how he gets those brainstorms? Well, every once in a while I get a brainstorm. I have been privileged, and God's been good in my life. You know, I started out in entertainment. I sang with Glenn Campbell, Frank, all kinds of old folks like that. Some of you will remember them. Some of you don't know who they are. But the fact of the matter is, as a pastor for many, many years, I had the privilege of meeting many, many wonderful people. And while meeting those people, I got to work with those people. And the people that God has allowed me to work with now and be a part of this program that's growing and growing, by the way, across this nation each week, have been some of the most wonderful people. And two of them I'm looking at right now, and you are too, is Commander Rob Hansen and his wife, Nancy, from New York, Buffalo, New York. Yeah. In that area. That's right.
Jamestown, New York, actually.
Jamestown,
close. Yeah. Whoops there. Well, and cooler than the one in Virginia, right, Nancy? Much cooler.
Different. 1607, Jamestown, Virginia, first settlers.
Yeah. There we go. Different place. Much better on this one, yeah. So, you know, I got to talking about this, folks. We do want you to get to know us all better, and we all interact with you on the web a lot, so I get all kinds of stuff that I send back. So what I want to do, wait a minute, hang on. Here's a weed from Doug Weed. Joe, are you there? Sent for my iPhone. Yes. How do I call you? Hang on here. Now is when we need somebody. Talk to him for a moment, Rob, and I'll see if I can't come through here and find him for us.
Yeah. Did you give him the link to the CBS radio thing?
This morning. Yes. I am here. Yes. Let's see, Doug. Everything is sent. Yes. Yes, I'm here.
I just want everybody to know out here, this is a live show, and you never know what's going to happen.
That's
so
right.
You know, it's just...
We don't even know what we're going to say
Exactly.
Until the time comes for us.
Show.
Yeah, and that's what makes it so nice and spontaneous, and hopefully real and honest. Doug Weed, and I had read his book last year about the Inside Trump's White House. I kind of wish more Americans would have read it, because they would have found that everything that they were told about Donald Trump in the media was a lie and untrue and fake. If they would have known, and Doug Weed actually had personal access to President Trump and his family, and we're hoping we'll get him back on here in a few minutes. He had unprecedented access to the Trump family, who gave him a bunch of information during President Trump's time in the White House. And again, none of the information that Doug Weed's book published had ever been sent out in the mainstream media. And so most Americans got a very inaccurate, false, wrong view about the previous president. And that's why we're kind of hoping we'll get him on board here so he can explain that. He's also been on a lot of news shows from Newsmax, OANN, Fox, and some of the other places. And he's also got his own website, DougWeed.com. The guy's been in the Washington presidential arena from a presidential historian standpoint for probably 50 years. So he's known presidents from Nixon, maybe LBJ, Nixon, Carter, Ronald Reagan, who actually had a video on YouTube which explained his great service to the country and mentioned Doug Weed by name. And then, of course, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush. And then, of course, after two terms of W, we had the Obama administration and then the Trump administration. And again, because Donald Trump was an outsider in the Washington scene, every, I don't know, power broker in the D.C. area, the swamp, did everything they could to paint a false picture of the guy and never bothered publishing everything positive that Donald Trump did for the good of America. Because, you know, everybody else was focused on orange man bad, or he sends mean tweets. And that wasn't really the story. If you had followed President Trump throughout his 4 years, every single thing he did, from his executive orders to the decisions that were made in the White House, were in America's best interest. Bringing back companies and industry to America, bringing back energy independence so that we wouldn't have to rely on the Middle East or any other place, like Venezuela used to have oil and something weird happened there. Border security, which, gee, it's kind of a big issue right now, isn't it? Because the previous president actually thought, wouldn't it be a great idea to follow immigration law and secure borders? And guess now, and again, this is the current regime's goal, I guess, is to open the borders and ensure that the cartels, and this is a true story, really do run what's going on in the border. And so you're dealing with an unprecedented amount of drugs, human smuggling, human trafficking, and some really not good guys, including Chinese scientists and engineers that are crossing the border illegally. Nobody seems to care. And the media doesn't bother covering anything. So this is kind of an important thing that people need to pay a lot more attention to. And we're not dealing with a current regime that has America's best interests in mind. Every single one of the current president's executive orders since January 20th has basically, at least 90 of them have canceled all of the things that Donald Trump had done to protect America's interests, to keep people employed, and to raise our standard of living, including minorities, blacks and Hispanics in particular, where there was record employment. And now we're dealing also with a regime that is blaming or is taking credit for many things when it comes to the vaccine that's coming out for everybody that the previous administration had actually started and worked on. So what we're dealing with here is a completely, I was going to say, different regime than the previous one. But what we're dealing with really here, and I know this from a national security standpoint, is we're seeing a continuation of the Obama administration when it comes to national defense, national security, the State Department, and everything in the Department of Justice, the FBI, all of the senior positions are being filled with previous Obama administration officials. So you're seeing basically the third term of Obama. Again, the media is never going to tell you any of this stuff because the media, 99% of which are pro-left, pro-Democrat, pro-liberal, they're going to come out with a certain spin on news and information. And the sad part is most Americans, well, fortunately, many Americans are starting to wake up and realize that they're being lied to and they're being provided misinformation, false information, fake information, and lies. And I think it's time that Americans start standing up and holding the media accountable for all of its falsehoods. Just in the past week, ever since the president had given a State of the Union message, the Washington Post itself came out and said, we're not even gonna fact check President Biden's lies, of which, if you were paying attention, and many of you may not have been, were plentiful in his State of the Union message. I think it's important to have Americans start paying attention to reality and not what they're being told. And this has nothing to do with ideology. This has nothing to do with political parties. I think it has everything to do with not being told the truth and not buying what the media is selling you. And until you understand that, you're just going to fall for anything. And as an example, last week, I think it was ABC News that came out and said Joe Biden had like a 63% approval rating. Really? That's true. Do you realize the things that he has done, of which almost nothing is in America's national interest, not to mention the over $6 trillion that are going to be spent for COVID relief. Guess what percentage is actually going to COVID relief? 1.9 billion or trillion. About 6% of that is actually going to COVID relief. The rest is going to special pet programs and projects and unions and teachers and things like that. And then we have the infrastructure bill, of which I think it's around $2.9 trillion. And about the same percentage is actually going to infrastructure. So where's the rest of the money going? And do you, as American citizens, really approve of the decisions that are being made as to your tax dollars and where they're going and how they're being spent and why? And then we have the, I think the latest lie has to do with the American Family Act, which I think is another $1 trillion or $2. $1 trillion. And very little of that's actually going to American families. Now, where is the $6 trillion coming from? It's coming from you. It's coming from me. It's coming from every single American taxpayer. And guess what? Does this decrease the deficit? I don't think so. In fact, it increases it to such a degree that it's not going to be able to get paid off. And so we have the Federal Reserve printing more money, which is based on nothing. There's no gold standard. There's no nothing except the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. And I think we need to start really getting serious about paying attention to everything that's going on in Washington, because none of this is helping Americans, not a single thing. American jobs are being lost. The economy is not doing as well as the media is telling you. And I'll go into international relations and things going on between the U.S. and China, the U.S. and Iran, and all the other threats that we have. And Joe, go right ahead.
I tell you what, Rob, you just nailed it. I mean, hey, that's exactly what's going on.
I haven't even gotten started yet.
That's exactly,
exactly what's going on. And Doug just called. He's having, there's some kind of difficulty, so the station's working right now. Nancy, there could never have been a greater time for your statement. We're live. That was perfect, because we are live right now. So, Don, they're on at the station right now. Is talking to them, trying to pull them through for us. But, you know, the thing is interesting. Like
hey, I'm here, Joe. I'm with you.
Oh, there we go. Let's see.
Where are you, Doug?
Hey,
Doug, how are you doing?
I hear you.
I'm on the west coast of Florida.
Oh, Florida. Okay.
That's the best side of Florida.
Are you on the radio or are you on the computer?
I'm on the radio with you.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. But you're not on the on the computer. But they put you on the radio. Right?
I guess. I'm not sure what they did.
Whatever it
is,
I'm here. We sure do like the sound of your voice.
Welcome, Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Hi there. I like the sound of your voices.
Yeah. Why?
Doug, you wouldn't believe today. Nancy just
Sorry.
Dogs get a little feisty sometimes.
Rottweilers ate my flesh. So
okay. Nancy just told him we're kind of on live TV, podcast and radio. And we had Dr. Thayer and his wife got stuck in Georgia. And they are unable to get back to us. And then also we had Dr. Hall had a situation, a family emergency. So Rob and I and Nancy were talking. So here we are. So Rob, we've got Doug. Don's got him on the phone. He's live wired. He's connected to us. We don't have his picture, but we're excited to have you back with us on the 31st. And on the 31st, we will go ahead and put you center with the picture there, and we'll give you the whole screen. How's that, Rob? That'll work good, won't it?
That'll work. Have we figured out why we can't get Doug on video?
No.
But he's here.
He's with us, and that's the key thing. So,
thank heavens.
Yeah. He's on line 3. Go ahead and introduce him. He's on the phone lines. There we go. Finally, I'm reading the chat. There it is. So,
he's such a good looking guy. I mean, we got to get him on video.
That's right, Doug. We tell everybody that. And you know, it's interesting, Doug. We're usually so polished. I know that sounds so funny right now, but we've got a great listening audience and watching too. And they love being with him. We all love them. So, we just shared your book, Rob and I. We talked about it. We shared how much we appreciated the things you gave us. We're going to do it again. We're holding that book up again for you, Doug. One of the New York Times best-selling authors. We've also been leading people to your Newsmax items and stories. We've shared with folks your address on State of the Union, what you thought about that with the vaccines and the jobs, and we've really appreciated that. So what we thought we'd do under these circumstances, Doug, would be really, really good. We'd just like to give you an opportunity to maybe speak to us about what you think the greatest need is that we as conservative evangelical
Americans,
yes, they say that love our nation and want the best for everybody. What would you share with us that we should be doing at this point? And then we'll kind of go from there. What do you see would be a good thing for us to do?
Well, I don't know for all of America, but for me, it's knowledge. I mean, yes. The more I read and the more I study and the more I learn of what's going on, the better equipped I am to adjust to it and to deal with it. It's pretty scary. It's pretty deep. It's gone pretty far right now. And I think most Christians anyway have misunderstood and haven't estimated properly how quick their liberties and freedoms are sliding away.
That's a great point, Doug. And also, I mean, one of the biggest problems we have with regard to knowledge and spreading it is that the quote-unquote knowledge spreaders, meaning the media, doesn't really spread knowledge. It spreads one point of view and always negative towards our points of view. And the difficulty and challenge is, how do you overcome that when there are so many millions of Americans who are buying into whatever the media feeds them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think you can overcome that. You have to rival it and get your own sources of information going. That's what you're doing. And that's what we got to do. In fact, the left has Hollywood. They have academia. They have the Congress. They have the White House. They're trying to get the Supreme Court. They have corporations. Of the top 20 corporations in America, 18 of them have CEOs and chairman of the board who are Democrats. It's so ironic to hear Elizabeth Warren talk about billionaires who are big Republicans, are in fact Democrats. They voted 19 out of the 20 top 20 billionaires. Voted both for Hillary Clinton, then 18 out of the 20 for Joe Biden. So all that conservatives seem to have is radio and occasionally an online outreach like yours. But that can be enough. It doesn't take much to pop the balloon, but somehow we got to get the message out. There's a reason that the media dominates. It's because they're all linked to China. Disney, 40% of her income comes from China, and they own ABC. It's very clear the people at ABC, you don't have to be a genius. If you were hired tomorrow to work for ABC, you'd figure out in a hurry what you can say and not say and what would likely help you get promoted up the chain of command, just based on the knowledge you get from Googling Disney and its income. So you can get that on your own. So what are they going to do when China's financing everything? There's not much you can do.
And how many Americans are aware of that, Doug?
Well, a surprising amount of them are. When I talk about it online, I'm surprised at some of the comments I get and some of the teaching I get from people who are in the audience listening, things that they're sharing with me that I didn't know. But it's happening very quickly. I have some friends that kept telling me, you know, that they were Bernie Sanders fans. And they said, you know, the socialism word, it's so different. It's more like Danish socialism. It's not like Cuba. It's not like the Soviet Union or Venezuela. And I said, well, is it like Berkeley? Yes, it's like University of California, Berkeley. I said, well, in Berkeley. So they wouldn't allow me to speak there, even if I was invited and paid and asked to come by students themselves or teachers. They wouldn't allow me to speak there. They don't allow my book to be sold there. So if that's socialism America style, we don't have a lot to look forward to.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. And I remember about, I don't know, at least 6 months ago, I think it was Mika Brzezinski from MSNBC who co-hosts something with Joe Scarborough. She had said out loud, and it was probably the most honest thing she ever said, is that our job is to control what people think.
Yeah.
Now, if that doesn't frighten Americans, I don't know what does, because, you know, this is Pravda in the 21st century in America. And the people that watch CNN, MSNBC, and the major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, they're all being fed one point of view, one type of news, and they choose what to tell everybody. There's nothing that they tell you that's any different when you switch the channels. It's all the same stuff. Mm-hmm. And that should frighten Americans, but I just worry that, you know, we become a nation of sheep.
Yeah.
Passive.
How about this? The morning of the president's address to the joint session of Congress, he sends the FBI in to raid the personal residence of the lawyer of his political opponent. That's a scene right out of Nazi Germany.
Yeah,
that's
some guy named Giuliani, if I recall.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I worked in the White House.
From whatever he has to say.
That's right.
Yes.
Nothing like that would happen without you just wouldn't do it. You'd CYA, you cover yourself to make sure it's okay.
And who approved it? Who approves it? Well, Is it justice? Is it the FBI?
It has to go all the way to the top. I mean, if you
to the top, yeah.
The FBI, you're not going to order your agents in to. There's no way that the agents are going to do it on their own, and there's no way it's some mid-level FBI. It goes right to the top of the FBI, and there's no way that the guy who's at the top of the FBI is going to order that done and embarrass the president when he's giving his speech to the joint session of Congress without getting permission, without getting approval. Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't have any problem embarrassing the previous president over 4 years at the top of the FBI. Why should it be any different now, right?
Yeah, but it is.
I know.
It is.
Doug, what do you think about the immigration thing that's going on right now? We live in Arizona. Rob has a house like 40 miles north of the border and from Mexico. And
we have a lot of border patrol.
Yeah, there's a lot of border patrol people there. And I just like to hear your opinion on how Biden is handling immigration right now,
especially in light of what previously had been done under the Trump administration.
Exactly.
Where amazingly, we actually had some border control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, in my humble opinion, it's all about the takeover of the federal government. It means nothing but that they want people who they believe will vote for the Democrat Party to come in and into the country. So it's certainly not about COVID, because they're willing to put people on these planes at McAllen and some of these other airports. You know they're migrants because they're carrying a little duffel bag that the American federal government has given them, and they're boarding, they're getting on these planes, and they're flying out across the country. They're not tested for COVID, has nothing to do with COVID, has nothing to do with good citizenship, because some of them are gang members, and they don't care about the children. They aren't reuniting the children with their parents, which was their big complaint under Trump. They're not doing any of that. It's all about the fact that they're more likely to vote Democratic. They would get health care, as the president has promised. They would get free education. Back in the 1970s, I founded an organization called Save the Refugees, and it later became Mercy Corps. And we were bringing people in from Southeast Asia who were fleeing communism. And there were these children all over the streets of Saigon whose fathers were American soldiers and mothers were Vietnamese young ladies. Mm-hmm. And you could tell that because they were mixed race, and you could see it in their features. And these children that were all over the streets of Saigon were being murdered. And we were finding parents for as many of them as we could to adopt them. And it was Joe Biden, who at the time was a United States senator, who opposed us. You can find this still online. It was Governor Brown, Jerry Brown, who at the time, believe it or not, even way back then, had a brief period where he was governor of California. He blocked Travis Air Force Base. We weren't allowed to, for a while, we would be able to bring in some of these orphans, but he blocked it so we couldn't bring them in to Travis Air Force Base. And the whole idea was they didn't want the immigration of Asians because Asians tend to be business people. They open restaurants and cleaners and grocery stores right on the corner in the middle of the ghetto, and they make money and they vote Republican. So they didn't want Asians, and they fought against Asians. They welcomed the immigration of Latinos and Africans who had a stronger percentage of them tend to vote Democrat. To me, that's all that's going on. Nothing else is going on at the border except how can we help take over this country and rule it without any opposition.
Wow. That's
it's frightening.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And we're letting it happen. And that's scary.
Dr. Dow, go ahead. Got
to take 1 minute here, Doug. Just give us a quick break. We got a great guy down in Houston and his family. His name is Joe Duran, and he has his own company, speaking of small business, by the name of 4D Financial. And he's got a website there, learnwithourteam.com. Joe Duran, learnwithourteam.com. And you can 832-308-7631. This family loves the Lord, named for his father who works with him also. Save for retirement, investments, get out of debt. Save for your children's college. Get them in a good Christian college someday where they'll learn real American history. And teach anybody. He'll help you get all the way, and the financial help and planning is absolutely free. Give Joe a call. This guy was someone that'll be your friend and help you financially. And he prays for and helps us right here on Raising Expectations. All right, go get them, Joe. We're with you. All right, Doug, you made a comment there that was really interesting. The State of the Union address, I thought that was interesting how the phrase was made about the vaccines, that before he became president, there were no vaccines. I thought that was interesting. And also about the jobs, I thought it was interesting how your friend said, he's saying that we made more jobs, Camila was saying, in 100 days than God did in 7 days. This was his comment. I thought that really got my attention. Could you maybe talk a little about your opinion of the State of the Union that President Biden gave?
Yeah, Joe, I remember with Barack Obama as president that the first 2 years, everything that happened, he blamed on George W. Bush. And there was an element of truth in it. The previous president had brought us to the brink of a great recession. And Obama was right to say, hey, it's not my fault. I inherited this mess. You can't turn around the government that quickly, that easily. It's like a big ship out in the middle of the ocean. It takes a long time to turn it around. It's quite a process. And yet, when Joe Biden becomes president, he tries to take credit for everything that's happened, including, as you mentioned, when he was on CNN in this town hall, he publicly said, there was no vaccine when I became president. And that wonderful bulldog reporter, Anderson Cooper, who actually is a reporter journalist for 60 Minutes, which is not known to be a pushover, this 60-minute bulldog just stood there and said nothing and looked dumb as Joe Biden claimed in front of the whole country that there was no vaccine when I became president. Of course there was. He was himself vaccinated when Donald Trump was president. And it was Trump who put together the most aggressive use of public and private money that we've seen in this country, one of the most powerful programs since the Manhattan Project that helped get us our vaccination. I think Joe Biden would be wiser if he would have said in this first 100 days that he gives a little thanks to the previous administration for getting things in order. But they can't. The media can't do it. And that's why they attacked him and tried to claim all the credit on jobs. You'll remember they made fun of Trump when he said he would create jobs. And Barack Obama said, what, you got a magic wand? That was over manufacturing jobs. It can't be done. If it could be done, I would have done it. But that's
he
what
did
Trump
it.
Did. He did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the jobs being created now, many of them are, most of them are government jobs with these billions of dollars. And yes, you can do that. The Soviet Union did that. They created, you know, tens of thousands of jobs by hiring the people to work for them.
And the standard Soviet would say, we pretend to work and they pretend to pay us.
It is interesting. It gives you a little idea of where we're headed. But in the Soviet Union, as you know, they used to punish overachievers. So this was what was so odd to me when I toured Russia over the last few years, to have people describe the Soviet era saying you couldn't underachieve if you were on the factory line, but if you overachieved, you'd get punished as being individualistic and a show-off. So you had to stay somewhere in the middle to stay away from the punishment of the commissar. That's where we're headed, by the way. We're headed.
Yeah, and it's really scary, Doug. I mean, I took Russian at the Naval Academy when I was there, you know, a long time ago. I think before you were born, Doug. Actually, just kidding. But I had a great Russian language professor named Vladimir Tolstoy, who was, I guess, a cousin of Leo, the guy that wrote War and Peace, or they were related or something. And he had actually been Khrushchev's interpreter back in 60-61 when he came to the U.S. And somehow, magically, Professor Tolstoy ended up staying in the U.S. What a concept. But he taught us a lot about Russian culture and the way things were in the Soviet Union at the time. And obviously, there was no freedom. And it was all, again, going back to Pravda, which is Russian for truth, which their newspaper was anything but true. But it just kind of fed into the classic Orwellian 1984 world where, you know, the ignorance is strength and war is peace and, you know, everything is upside down. And I'm seeing a lot of that happen now. And again, this is what scares me so much, because as free Americans, we should have been, and you don't need a college degree, you don't need a master's or a PhD to understand what's really going on around here. You need to find out with a clear head what the truth is. And there are so few places that are actually coming out with what the real truth is. I mean, we could talk about the election results. And I'm sure we were all in agreement that, gee, I don't think the election results were quite accurate. But, you know, nobody really wanted to fight it. And the media didn't do it. And the states had problems with that. But again, I mean, I think Americans are being fed so many lies that either most Americans don't trust what they're being told, or they believe what they're being told, or they're searching, or they don't care. Yeah. And that's what's scary, you know, to me, is that the people that don't care, they're just allowing all of this loss of freedom and liberty to happen. without fighting for it. And it may be because they've had such an easy life in the last 40 or 50 years, and they don't think freedom and liberty is worth fighting for anymore, because that's all they know. And all they've been indoctrinated by at the public school and university system.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, maybe they do know, and maybe they fight back and have fought back, and maybe they came out in incredible numbers, 74.5 million, and maybe they elected Donald Trump president. But if it's not a fair election, there's not much they can do about that. And, you know, there is in Latin America, it is illegal to have mail-in ballots. They used to have it, but it was so wrought with fraud that they've outlawed it. There is, when people say America's become a banana republic, not quite. Not even a banana republic allows mail-in ballots. I mean, stop and think. You don't need identification. You could be living in Nigeria, and you could go online and get an American address and print out your ballot and get somebody to mail it in for you and have your address. And some people have registered to vote at different times. Different people in the apartment registered there. And when in the mail, they'll get 5 or 6 or 7 mail-in ballots with names on them, and they can vote for all of them and send them in. There's a reason why they're illegal in all across Latin America, but we're having them now. So, yes, we lost the election, and maybe because we allowed in those states mail-in ballots. And I agree with you, it's become very Orwellian. I mean, you stop and think, what did Orwell say? They'll try to convince you that 2 + 2 = 5. And when they try to do that, they make you repeat it, you know it's too late. Well, that's how I feel about Joe Biden standing on stage saying there was no vaccine when I became president. That's 2 + 2 = 5. That's and right. There's Anderson Cooper just standing there like, yep, it's 5. It's 5. Yeah. I think of Animal House, too. You remember where the Chicken Little ran through the barnyard saying the sky's falling in? That's how I felt when I saw that speech to the joint sessions where they all had their masks on. Everybody's been vaccinated, but they're wearing their masks. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. They want to keep us scared.
Well, in all fairness, Doug, we live in Arizona, and they've had, like, mail-in ballots for 15 or 20 years. And you actually have to sign everything, and you mail it back in. And we only got one ballot, as we normally do for ourselves. But it's been going on for many, many years here. So I don't think the mail-in ballot is a problem in Arizona. On the other hand, a lot of my family live in Pennsylvania, and I have a sister that lives there, and she said she got like 6 mail-in ballots. And she's an independent, you know, and she goes, I'm throwing them out. I'm just going to go and vote, you know, in person. But she got like 6 ballots. But here in Arizona, I mean, we get the ballot, you got to sign it, you got to, you know, verify it. So it's pretty safe here. I think it is, you know, but in Pennsylvania, they changed all the rules and they were just getting ballots hand over fist over there. So, yes, they got that screwed up.
The late surge there. What's happened now? What's the latest in Arizona on the recount? How's that going?
It's in progress. We don't know the end results yet, but they're currently working on it. And from what I can read, it seems to be the only state that's actually doing this right now. I could be wrong. I mean, I'm not following what may be going on in, well, Michigan or Wisconsin or Georgia or anything like that. But again, the media doesn't tell you information that could be very useful to the average American citizen.
I don't get the newspaper here anymore because it's too biased.
Yeah, the Arizona Republic.
It's not an Arizona Republic.
It's not Republic anymore.
No.
What a surprise. And almost every single newspaper in the major cities in America are pretty much the same. You know, whether it's the New York Times, Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, LA Times, the Des Moines Register, the Arizona Republic, and you know, name your own newspaper, but readership is declining. And I think that's probably a good sign, because I think Americans are getting tired of one-sided opinions and opinions that pass for journalism, which is bad. And I think that's why I'm kind of optimistic that I think Americans are waking up to the fact that they've been lied to for so long, and that Americans are starting to realize that things are pretty darn corrupt in Washington, that there's a cadre of swamp people that, you know, come and go. And now, again, the current swamp people are the previous swamp people from 2008 to 2016. What a concept. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I may be a little more pessimistic than you. I'm sorry.
No, I'm very pessimistic.
I know.
I'm trying to keep a smile on my face, but
I know that everything's possible with God, and I know that Christianity will survive. I mean, they hung Christians up as torches in Nero's garden parties.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Christianity can survive, whatever happens here, but I'm old and I'll be gone, and my heart aches for my children and my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not free speech when you go out in the backyard and you scream whatever it is you scream. It's not free speech unless it's heard. And I'm seeing, like, my daughter is seeing dial back, they call it, on YouTube. I'd never seen that before. I've seen throttling. I've experienced it. Shadow banning. There was an article in the Federalist, and they used examples of my YouTube account to show how it had been shadow banned. The analysis and numbers there could show it. But I'd never seen dial back. And what that is she'll make a YouTube and say something that she believes on it, and it'll start to go viral, 300, 500, 800 views, and then all of a sudden, you'll actually see the views turned back to 120. I've never seen that before, but that lets you know that occasionally, if you look for a news story that's hot, like maybe it's the Arizona thing we were just talking about, you'll go on YouTube and look for it, and you'll look for a story that you know that tens of thousands of people are looking for it, and you'll go there, and it'll have like 120 views. So what they're telling you is, this is not important. Don't pay attention to this.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I had a problem with Twitter a few months ago. I had, 12 or 13,000 followers, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I started losing about 1,000 followers a day, and I started reading about the other people on Twitter that were having a similar problem. Amazingly, they were all conservative and Republican, so imagine that. And so I finally just canceled and closed my Twitter account, because I just realized that they're just under one way of thinking and don't accept other points of view. And, you know, we live in a country where we are supposed to respect other points of view, however wrong they may be, and yet we're not able to post our points of view because big media, big tech is suppressing it. And that should frighten Americans.
That's good. I got to jump in here because of our time. Yeah. Boy, I couldn't concur more right there. I'm looking. I got the 2-minute warning here. But the media runs the interference for big tech, that's for sure. But boy, spot on, Rob. And Doug, where can people get your book? What's a website we can give them right now? Or how can we help you there?
Dougweed.com. Dougweed.com.
Perfect.
I was just with President Trump just a couple weeks ago, so that was exciting and fun.
I posted that and put it up for all of our people to see. You. What a great honor that was.
Yes, we're very humbled by that.
We're going to talk about that.
Do you think you can get them on our show? Yeah. Can you say a word for us and get them on our show?
Heck, I'll take Ivanka.
Yeah.
On the show.
We'll be talking about that on the 31st.
Yeah. We'd love to have them.
We'll share that on the 31st. Doug, that was a great film. In fact, I'm going to put it up again. Maybe you saw it, Nancy and Rob. It was great. And I love it where he said, you know, I left an awful lot of people just to come down here and be with you, Doug. I really honor you. That was awesome. That was awesome, Doug. And you deserve it. We respect you highly. We respect you in so many ways, as people do around the world, from teaching, from preaching, from everything you've done. You're writing Canyonville Christian Academy. My goodness, what you have done in the lives of people. So we're going to look forward to get this all set. We're going to launch you on the spot when we begin coming up here on the 31st. I've got 50 seconds. So, folks, hey, listen, go to our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations.
We're so professional here.
bbsradio.com/raising expectations. Folks, there's a donate button there. Many of you have found it. We are so thankful for those of you that support our program. If you'd like to help us out to really reach people for our nation, especially for the Lord and other things, make a donation there. We'll get back to you and thank you for it. I get back to every one of you. Again, Doug, God bless you and your family. Bless you on Newsmax. Let the guys know there. We sure support them. And we'll look forward to having you with us on the 31st, and we're going to have a great time. I'm going to have to sign off, Doug, but we're going to have your face up there next time. We'll get you all set up, okay?
We better.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks so much, Doug.
Thank you.
Love your book. You're bad.
Bye. Thanks, Doug. God bless.
Thanks again.
Bless. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.